Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge. Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, September the 22nd, 2018, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh is, well, hot, with daytime highs hitting 105 degrees. We have not backed off of that much either, with the local temperature sitting at about 103 degrees at just after 5 o'clock in the afternoon here. Winds have been a steady 7 miles per hour coming out of the east, and we will be pretty much in the 90s throughout the evening, with the temperature falling below 90 degrees sometime between the 11 and 12 o'clock hours as we head down to an ultimate low of 78 degrees in the hour before sunrise. And after all, it's basically the same weather tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Tomorrow is National Day here in Saudi Arabia. It's the equivalent of their Independence Day. So that's a pretty happy event for everybody. Everybody pretty much, except the retail sector, is happy anyways because it's a day off, paid vacation, all that kind of fun stuff. Known locally as Al-Yom. Al-Yom means the day. Al-Watani, I'm not sure what Tani means, maybe unification. It's usually done on September the 23rd, and it marks the unification of the two kingdoms here in Saudi Arabia on September 23rd, 1932, when King Abdulaziz back then announced the unification of the country as a single kingdom. Now, if National Day falls on a Saturday, Sunday will be a public holiday for compensation purposes. And if it falls on a Friday, Thursday would become the holiday. If those changes coincide with other holidays, an extra day of compensation will not be given. See, you know, getting paid for these national holidays, guys, that's probably first and foremost on a lot of people's minds. Basically, though, National Day, it's when you look at the history of Saudi Arabia as a nation, if you go all the way back to the 16th century, the region first was pretty much dominated from the 16th century up until the fall of the Ottoman Empire right after World War I. And that's when modern Saudi Arabia began to emerge as a nation. Ibn Saud, he was the son of Abdurrahman bin Faisal, who had been the last ruler of the second Saudi state. There's actually been three Saudi states, everybody. He became the sultan of something called Najd, and it's the central region of Arabia, and that was back all the way in 1921. And then after conquering the Hejaz, which is Western Arabia, in 1925, Ibn Saud was declared the king of Hejaz back on the 10th of January, 1926. In 1927, he changed his title to King of Najd, and basically he was king of both of these regions. And then by 1932, he had basically eliminated enough of his opponents out there to create what is now known as the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It was not always a national holiday. They didn't make it a national holiday locally until the 75th anniversary in 2007. In 2005, Saudi Arabia's late King Abdullah, he was actually, people revere this guy, and he really was something, announced that on the 75th national day, the occasion would become an annual national holiday. And so from 2007 on, it's been a national holiday. It's going to be marked by, obviously, the military type of parades. Not really parades, but you're going to have air shows, perhaps. I'm close to Riyadh Airport, which is actually a military airbase. And so I'm kind of close to there. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of aerial shows, fireworks is always a part of this day, as you can imagine, being an Independence Day. So it's going to be quite a festive day here tomorrow, and people are going to be out and about and enjoying, even though it's kind of hot. Nonetheless, people do get out and about, and they're going to enjoy the day, I can assure that. Today marks also my favorite time of year, the start of the fall season, everybody. Leaves are changing colors. Weather's starting to cool down for a lot of you, at least. We'll be getting a little bit cooler, probably starting another 10 days or so. We will start to calm down our temperatures. We should see the temperatures start to fall. But nonetheless, it's essentially today, tonight, 9:54 p.m. Eastern time is going to be the start, technically, of the spring, the autumn equinox. And that means, obviously, with the leaves changing and the cold nights, sometimes below freezing, but still nice days, 60s, 70s in the afternoons. It really is my favorite time of year. And so I'm kind of looking forward to it, even though I'm not in America anymore. But for anybody in the northern latitudes, let's be honest, fall is a great time of year. You know, I lived on a street in Covina, California, everybody, Covina. And we had a lot of trees that would lose their leaves every year. And it was quite a fun time to see the leaves slowly coming, falling down from the trees. And you would try to catch them. Maybe I would take my wiffle ball bat and try to hit them and smash them into bits and pieces as they drifted and floated and twisted their way down to the ground. And that was always a great time of year for me growing up as a kid. I used to love to take the football. I remember we had a white football back then, and go out on the street and kick it as high as I could into the trees just to make the leaves start to fall down. Then I would grab my wiffle ball bat and I would play baseball on a bunch of falling leaves. That was always a fun time of year, everybody. So anyways, looking forward to that. And football started again. I don't even care anymore. Really, I don't care. Football has done a great job with the social justice warrior stupidity that has become part of corporate culture. I just don't care about football anymore. Hockey is just around the corner. I still like hockey. And, of course, all the summer sports are coming to a close with baseball. The pennant race is really, it's probably down to what, 7 to 10 days now left in the baseball season. So it's a great time of year, everybody. And then we get ready for the winter season and hunker down and get ready for spring next year. So anyways, it's a great time of year. Today there's been a pretty serious issue on the international scene. What's happened is in Tehran, or not really in Tehran, but the city of what's called Avaz, which is in the south of Iran. Four gunmen opened fire on a parade that was basically many parades across Iran to commemorate, I don't know what the exact thing is, National Defense Day or something like that. But it marked the start of the Iran-Iraq War. And so obviously this was a terrible tragedy, not just for the Iraqis, but for the Iranians equally. And so they mark it with a holiday on the start, basically National Defense Day, you know, remind everybody that, you know, you really do have to fight for your freedom. And so you had the parades across the country, and in the city of Avaz, four gunmen opened fire. After it was all said and done, 24 people have been killed, and as many as 12 of those were Iranian National Guardsmen. The others were civilians, some press, some women, some children. And the Iranian National Guards, if you're not familiar with them, they are the group that is helping Assad, the Russians, and Hezbollah fight largely what is an American and Israeli terrorist, Turkish too, some Saudi, but not as much as before for sure. But they have sought to, help Assad to fight this terrorism. According to IRNA, and I actually cannot get IRNA here in Riyadh, it's blocked. but that is the Iranian National News Agency. They are saying that more than 60 people additionally were injured and that the gunman had opened fire on a stand where Iranian officials had gathered to watch the parade. The four gunmen were killed in this. It lasted about 10 minutes, according to some reports. And what Iranians are appearing to do is blame the Sunni Muslim militants for the violence. A video showed, and it's been all over Twitter if you haven't been paying attention, but a video showed on Iranian state media showed soldiers scrambling to respond to the shooting while obviously the civilians were fleeing all over the place. Again, some women and children were among those killed in the attack, according to the state television there. Two armed groups, the Islamic State and an Arab opposition group called the Avaz National Resistance, both claimed responsibility for the shooting but provided no evidence for their claims. And then according to Reuters, one senior Iranian official speculated to Iranian state television that the attackers were not linked to terrorist groups but instead were the fault of Israel's Mossad intelligence agency and the CIA. An Iranian military spokesman, Brigadier General Abdul Fazl Shikarchi, I'm not sure he said that, but he later added and echoed Zarif's view that noting that these terrorists might also be trained by Israeli intelligence. And someone else, Mr. Shikarchi, said they are not from Daesh, which would be the Islamic State, IS, or formerly ISIS, as some call them, or other groups fighting Iran's Islamic system, but they are linked to America and Israel's spy agency, Mossad. Of course, there's been no details to back that claim. It's all very fluid right now. Russian President Vladimir Putin has sent his condolences to his Iranian counterpart. That would be Hassan Rouhani, what is being called by the Kremlin a tragic terrorist attack in southwestern Avaz today. The Russian leader said that the incident is yet another reminder of the need to wage an uncompromising war on terrorism and vowed to further step up cooperation with Tehran to fight against it. Now, this attack on Iran comes after the loss of 15 Russian servicemen who were killed when their IL-20 electronic surveillance aircraft was shot down by Syrian anti-aircraft batteries who were responding to a coordinated attack against Syria by a French missile frigate and four Israeli F-16s earlier this week. Now, in response to the loss of the IL-20 and, of course, the 15 Russian servicemen on board, Russia now has closed down a huge swath of the eastern Mediterranean, not just the airspace, but the ocean around it. Russian forces in Syria are now conducting drills in international waters off the coast of Israel and Syria. And that's going to last from September 19th through the 26th. And again, that is in response to the Israeli provocation a few days ago, which led to the downing of this aircraft. A released navigational warning map shows that Russian forces will impose a no-fly zone covering most of the area around Israel waters or Israeli waters during these drills. So, guys, it's huge, quite frankly, what's happening here in the Middle East. It's a little bit dicey. The Americans, for their part, they just don't seem to grasp that they're in the middle, that you've got 6,000 U.S. troops still in Iraq. You have 2,000 U.S. troops still in, not still, but now ensconced inside of Syria. And, folks, they're isolated. They're cut off at the end of the day. I mean, if you wanted to have a coordinated effort to harm American troops here in the region, there's not a whole lot that the U.S. is going to be able to do about it. The Americans are basically in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by what could be very hostile forces. Now, American troops are tolerated. If you were to go after American troops, there would be obviously a lot of pain involved. But these American troops, nonetheless, are in exceedingly harm's way, folks. And if you're an American citizen and you actually do support your troops, you should be clamoring to get them out. Get them out. They are not in an area where they're doing anything but supporting Jewish interests. Now, if you feel, seriously, if you feel that you as a nation, as a people, as a family, as a community, whatever you want to break this down, whatever strata you want to break it down to, if you feel that it is your duty and obligation to fight and die for the Jewish state, which is nothing, in my opinion, but a pack of sadistic pre-medieval thugs. I mean, these people are just barbaric. They're barbaric, folks. The comments that these people make about the Goy and all this other stuff, these people are pre-medieval, almost demons. I mean, they're not even human in some cases. The Israelis are worth nothing. Seriously, folks, as a redeemable part of this planet, if you think it's your right and your obligation to support these people and die for them, by all means, but we American taxpayers should stop paying for it. You should go pay for it, and you go send your family out there, and you go support this diehard pack of demonic little things called Israelis. I mean, that's your choice, folks. I know I'm not alone in this. I know Ron Paul is saying we should get these people out. There are a lot of us who are nationalists, who care about the American nation, who are behind this idea to get American troops out. I mean, it doesn't serve American interests, period. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about saving this little puny little crap hole country called Israel. And if you think Israel is some great heap of wonderfulness, go there. Seriously, go there and then really go there. Go visit what it's like to watch a settler like today just runs over a Palestinian kid because, hey, what the heck? You know, nothing better to do today. We used to joke as a kid, you know, you get 100 points if you run somebody over. In Israel, it's not a joke. I mean, they actually take this as something that's an honorable thing to do. If you can actually get in your car and run down a child, that's in their culture something that's actually honorable, folks. That's how sick, quite frankly, the Israelis are. Now, nonetheless, moving forward from that, the Russians are obviously, as you can imagine, quite pissed off, and they should be. There was an aircraft. If you were listening to Thursday's show, you kind of heard this a little bit already, but essentially what happened was this. Earlier this week, you had an attack in Latakia by the Israelis, and it was coordinated with a French frigate, which fired off some missiles equally. And what happened was the Israelis knew all about this Russian IL-20. And so what they did is they went down about to the ocean floor, and then they launched their standoff missiles from about ocean level. So they never really were picked up by the somewhat antiquated Syrian air defense systems. And so what happened is once the air defense system saw the missiles coming, the missiles were coming from the exact direction of this Russian aircraft. And so in the heat of the battles per se, the Syrian air defense systems opened fire on the missiles and ended up hitting the aircraft. So essentially, the cowardice of Jews to hide behind an unarmed aircraft filled with 15 goyim, Russian servicemen, sacrifice these Russian servicemen just so they can get away, and the cowardice, quite frankly, of the French to simply essentially open fire on a nation that's absolutely doing nothing to the French, that's the situation we find ourselves in today. Now, the Russian military, for their part now, they are saying here that Russia is vowing retaliation against what they called an Israeli hostile step following this jet's shoot down. Now, according to TASS, Moscow views Israeli steps, which led to the downing of the Russian aircraft, as hostile. And it's stating that they reserve the right to retaliate. That is according to Defense Ministry spokesman Major General Igor Konashenkov, and that was just this past Tuesday, and quoted him, he said, "We view these provocative steps by Israel as hostile. Due to the Israeli military's irresponsible actions, 15 Russian servicemen were killed. This is absolutely against the spirit of the Russian-Israeli partnership," Konashenkov said. And he said, "We reserve the right to take adequate tit-for-tat steps." Now, the first step they have done is shut the airspace and the naval space surrounding Israel right now. And if you don't think that has any repercussions, it's huge, because what happens is that Israeli aircraft, commercial, and of course Jordanians too, for that matter, they cannot fly through this airspace. So they got to find new routes around the airspace to get around. Commercial airliners are having to reroute their traffic now. Israel is basically off limits. If you want to get to Israel, you're going to have to fly down south through Egypt, which means you're going to have to pay the Egyptians money to get there. So it is a huge issue here, folks. But that's just the start of it. According to the Russian Defense Ministry, I'll leave that statement. We'll just leave that part for now. What else was happening here? Yeah. Effective, I think, yesterday or the day before, Russia has now instigated a criminal case into the IL crash above the Mediterranean. Now, Russian investigative committee investigators and forensic experts are working at the accident scene. It's not an accident, though, but that's just how it's being reported. And they are also working together with representatives of the Russian Defense Ministry. Now, all circumstances surrounding the accident are being established. The Russian Defense Ministry said that at about 2300, that would be, of course, 11 o'clock at night, Moscow time on Monday, contact was lost with a Russian Ilyushin IL-20 plane, and that there were the four F-16s, Israeli F-16s, operating off in the Mediterranean. Now, later the ministry said the IL-20 was shot down by Syrian air defenses, and so that's pretty well been established. For its part, Israel sent a team. Of course, we all know that the Israelis are lying thugs, basically. So they knew what they were doing, folks. They were more than willing to sacrifice 15 servicemen, one of the assets inside of Syria, to advance their goals. That's not, to them, that's not an issue. Killing people is the Jewish way at the end of the day, whether it's they kill your job, they kill your business, they kill your opportunities, they kill your family, they kill your, this is how these guys operate. Stop pretending that they're this beacon of lightness. They're not a beacon of light. They're just they're a token of evil, perhaps, I guess we could say. What else is news out there regarding this little event here? I think I got one more piece. I know they were vowing the retaliation. We've got the criminal thing opening up. And I think that's about all I got on that one. I think I've got just those few things. So, folks, it's a big issue. I know the people are starting to get really pissed off at the Israelis now. Putin, for his part, he is surrounded by a lot of nationalists. These nationalists very well understand that Jews killed 60 million of their compatriots. They know that. They know that no Jew has ever been brought to justice about this. They know that. People get it out there. And so Putin is looking a little bit weak here. Now, whether or not he's just smart and he's done the right thing here, but he looks weak to some of the people out there. So there's a lot of hotheads out there. There are ways in which Israel should be retaliated against. They should be, quite frankly, brought to heel. And then something strange happened this week. The Israelis went live and they said that they are now hardening their nuclear facilities because of Iranian threats. Well, that now is a tacit acknowledgement that Israel has a nuclear program. And Israel is not a party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And because of that, quite frankly, 100% of all aid, 100% of all aid to Israel, and that includes coming from nonprofit Jewish organizations that funnel probably another $20, $30 billion a year to Israel, 100% aid should be cut. As Americans, we should demand that this be cut. There is no excuse for Trump to be out there supporting Israel when our laws say that we are not allowed to support any country that has not signed on to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It's the Fetch, everybody. Good morning.
All right,
everybody. Welcome back. This is the Fetch Inside the Eye, live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, the largest listener-sponsored and supported radio station out there on the World Wide Web. Again, we got something like 83 shows, everybody, broadcasting live 24-7 for the most part on two different studios. This is, of course, Studio A. You can catch The Fetch even on TuneIn Radio. I know the station does a lot of work for us behind the scenes, and we certainly appreciate their work. And in return, we're promoting Inside the Eye Live on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, everybody. Whatever you do, really, seriously, in this world of deplatforming, and we've got more cases of deplatforming this week. I don't know if you heard, InfoWars has now had their PayPal account canceled. And I don't even care, quite frankly, because, you know, we've been talking about InfoWars for years. We've said, look, there's a huge Jewish problem out there. Jews could dominate all of these platforms that are working very hard to make sure that none of us have a voice, none of us have a means through which we can actually make money that is available to pretty much everybody except for who Jews deem it's not permissible. And we need to, as Americans, really stand up for our rights. You know, Jews keep creating situations for a lot of us where we get deplatformed, we get cut down. And right now, you know, this is one of the platforms, that's Revolution Radio, where we still have a voice. We still can come talk about issues that are important to patriots in the United States, talk about issues that are important to European Americans in the United States and elsewhere. We have shows that continue to be added that are within this unique, it's not really unique, but it is kind of a unique space. So folks, support the network regarding what we're doing here. So I know some of you sent me emails and said that, yes, you are actually participating and you are sending $5 to get the archives, whatever the case might be. So keep doing that. It's really, really important. I know this week I was talking to a colleague and he said, are you still doing your radio show? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, you know, you've been doing that a long time now. And this is actually a Saudi man. And I said, yeah, actually I have. And he said, well, you know, kind of like, he's like looking at me like, why? I said, look, we have a very popular show. We're filling like a stadium every Saturday. I said, people come from all over the world to tune into this show. And I said, how do you just drop a show like that? You can't. You have to honor your people that have been loyal to you, who come to listen to you each and every week. I said, you have to keep everything in balance here, because it's not easy to do what I do, to speak about pro-American things like I do. And they get it. I mean, they get it. Not everybody's happy 100% with what I do, but for the most part, they're supportive equally. They get what's happening to America. They get what is happening to Europe. And, you know, if you get into the higher echelons of society, everybody, and I'm talking about those who are well-educated, those who have a reasonable amount of income, those who are not driven too much by the either the politics or the religion, you're going to find generally good people, and they don't come to Europe to worry about getting robbed by a bunch of Algerian or Tunisian refugees. They're not going to Greece to worry about getting assaulted by somebody from Nigeria or Southern Sudan or Eritrea. They're not going to America, for that matter, to go into a town that's been overrun by a bunch of Somalians and the place is just starting to turn to you know what. Even Saudis, folks, they get it. You know, they go to school in America. When they go to Baltimore, they come back and they say, what a scary place. They get it, folks. So be a little bit forgiving sometimes, but equally focused on the task at hand. And that is, of course, ridding your nations of a lot of this crap that Jews have literally forced upon you in a way that you've never asked for. You never asked for these circumstances to come along at all. So to talk about these things and get it out, you need a platform. Bottom line, you need a platform. So support Revolution Radio. That's all I got to say. Go to revolution.radio and support the network. It's very, 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 very important that you do so. This is, of course, sponsored by the ITEL Cat Report, and it's probably sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's conveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. And you can catch Blackbird Nine's Trading Post, Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And of course, Frederick is a former, current. He's a NSA whistleblower, a 9/11 truth advocate, a former North Carolina House Canada, former 32-degree Mason. And so he brings a lot of esoteric knowledge in a way that is very difficult to find. He's got a good time slot, 8 o'clock. It's a good time to talk about the issues that he talks about. So get out there and support Blackbird 9 Trading Posts at blackbird9tradingpost.org. This week's cat report, kind of cool in a little way. We've got our three cats now. We've got Bruiser, we've got One Eye, and we've got Spikers. Spikers is the kitten. He's not even a year old. I guarantee that. He's still not a year old. He'll be a year old probably, another 2 to 3 months. He should somewhere become a year old, but he's still a baby. But what happened the other day, actually, was it today? I think it was even today. Spikers was down, and he likes to now hide up on my freezer, actually refrigerator, inside of my kitchen. On top of my refrigerator, I have two ice chests. That's just kind of where they're being stored right now. So he likes to actually sit up on there. And so when I see the videos, come, it's kind of pixelated coming from Jordan. There's Spikers up there, and One Eye is usually around, whatever. But Bruiser plays security guard down on the floor because Bruiser has no eyes, so he can't jump up and get around. So Bruiser is always just pacing back and forth on the kitchen floor, basically playing security guard. And I guess Spikers needed something. He got down this morning, and there was a fight inside the house between Bruiser and Spikers. One Eye came over, smacked them both upside the head, and I'm informed that the fight stopped. That's good. I'd like to see the cats start to deal with this directly. So that's kind of a cool thing. So One Eye's been basically playing big uncle here, keeping everybody out. And this is actually all a family at the end of the day. Literally, One Eye is the uncle to Bruiser and the father to Spikers, if you can get how that works. So this is all kind of like three guys. They're all part of the same cat family, but Bruiser just doesn't like anybody to be around. He can't do much to his uncle because his uncle just smacks him around. I think he understands that's his uncle type of thing. But the baby, Spikers, Bruiser hasn't figured this out yet, so he's still a little angry, but it's getting better from what I hear. So they tried to put Spikers out last night, or this morning after the fight, and Spikers came right back into the house. They put him out again. He came right back into the house. Put him out again. They put him, came right back in. So I called, 12 o'clock, 12:30 this morning or this afternoon. And, they can come in and out through the front door. They can jump through it type of thing. And, One Eye had gone out after the fight, and as they opened the door, he came right back in. It's like, hello there, dude. And I've got a nice new chair I bought over the summer. I bought a nice recliner for my back. And, that's where One Eye's been sleeping lately. He's like taking over my chair. That's cool. I like it. It's kind of a fun thing, but that's the ITEL Cat Report, everybody. Again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. And again, it's inconvenient, located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. And by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. Again, listen for Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern on the Spreaker Radio Network. And for more information, be sure to visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's Blackbird Nine TradingPost.org.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey.
Over there, everybody!
Over there!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. Yeah, this week's Oy Vey Moment is coming to us from, again, the UK. UK seems to be a hot flashpoint of Jewish idiocy, Jewish self-importance, Jewish obsession with their own self-centered views. I don't know how you really want to relate to it, but essentially if you delve into British politics at all, it's basically Jews saying, we run your country, you British don't belong here. You should shut up. You should get out of politics. We Jews should have an absolute reign of terror over all of you. And, of course, the little pushback, and it's not a whole lot, the little pushback that is happening in Jewish politics, largely coming from the Labour Party inside with Jeremy Corbyn and all, they seem to be at the brunt of it. But there's a story coming out with this lady called Leila Moran, I believe is her name, Leila Moran. And she says she had to, quote unquote, mansplain anti-Semitism to somebody called John McDonnell. And she also mocks the suggestion the shadow counselor has been on a journey on this issue. See, in Jewish politics, it's basically, are you a Jew lover or are you not? I mean, that's basically what I think the Jewish community inside of the UK is saying. Do you love Jews? Do you worship Jews? And if not, you're an anti-Semite. Do you question Jewish decisions in the political process? If you do, you're an anti-Semite. Do you question the right of Jews to dominate and control Jewish politics? If you do, you're an anti-Semite. So basically what the Jews are telling us here is that to be politically entrenched in your own personal interests is anti-Semitic. So basically they've said we're an enemy of you. At the end of the day, that's all they're really saying is you, if you have any of your own self-interest in politics, that is anti-us Jews. And therefore, by default, folks, Jews are telling you they are your enemy. There's no other way to describe it. When everything you do is quote-unquote anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic, well, by default, they're setting themselves up to be your enemy. Come on, break it down here. Leila Moran, she said here, she's a liberal democratic nutcase, quite frankly, but this is politics. She said that she had to mansplain quote-unquote Jew hate during their clash on TV. You know, I swear, I would love to get into a debate with these idiots about Jew hate. Because what is there to like about Jews to begin with? Seriously. Here you are, you're arresting people over things they say. You're deplatforming people. You're denying people a voice. You're scheming against the national interests of the British people. You're highly engaged in the destructive policy of immigration. You have covered up what some MPs in now the UK are calling a holocaust against white British girls for the nonstop rape of their children by Pakistani youth gangs and grooming gangs. And everywhere we look, Jews are silent on all of this except for one little thing. quote unquote anti-Semitism, which means give us Jews what we want or we're going to whine like a bunch of crybabies and drive you. But not only are we going to whine like a bunch of crybabies, we're going to use our power to absolutely punish you into submission. That makes them an enemy of you. That makes them an enemy of the British people. Now, Leila Moran, she is a first ever MP of Palestinian origin, no doubt, clashed with the shadow chancellor during an appearance on the BBC's Politics Live when she condemned posters that had been put up all over London that said Israel is a racist endeavor. Well, it is a racist endeavor, Miss Moran. They have all their laws that prove it. And so Leila Moran is basically a Palestinian moron. She is an idiot. Quite frankly, she's been bought and paid for by the Jewish people there. How can anybody in good consciousness deny the fact that Israel is a racist endeavor? It's clearly a racist endeavor. Of course, they're using the term racist endeavor here a lot, folks, because Jews have said specifically in their international definition on anti-Semitism is that anybody who claims that Israel is a racist endeavor is quote-unquote an anti-Semite. Well, why is Israel as a nation invoking all of this negative, I don't know what you even want to call it, this negative stigma? What is it about Israel that you're supposed to worship? And I would say to Lady Leila Moran, I says, do Jews represent my interest? Are Jews working on behalf of my political interest? Are you saying, Miss Moran, that I have no political interests here, that I must serve you and the Jewish people that you are serving? And I would ask straight up, if I have my own right to my own political interests and I am being tasked by the Jewish community to recognize their right to self-determination, then I am going to tell the Jewish people, if you want your right to self-determination, you must grant to us our right to self-determination. And that means that you Jews must get out of our politics. You cannot have your cake and eat our cake too. It's very simple. Jews want it all. They don't want a world in which people have a say in anything. That's the bottom line here. She put up here, the people who put it up, meaning this sign all over that Israel is an absolutely racist endeavor. It's called the London Palestine Action. And she says, as a Palestinian, they don't speak for me. And they are blatantly racist signs. No, it's not. It's just a simple comment, you freaking moron. You don't define for us as a Palestinian our language. Go to Palestine, use your language, and start to talk. But you, as a Palestinian, do not speak for us and the use of our language. See, that's the issue at stake here. They want to sit there and tell us how our words are defined. You and these people out there that keep using this type of language do not speak for us when it comes to the terms and definition of our language. It's very simple. They want to sit there, well, they don't speak for me. Well, neither do you if they say that. Well, you don't speak for me and how you're using the language either. So get out of our face. If we want to call it a racist endeavor, it's a racist endeavor. And if you don't like it, that's too bad because you don't speak for us and on the usage of our language. Do you guys get how this starts to work now? Start twisting this, man. She also mocked. Ooh, she's a big tough lady, right? She mocked the claim that Mr. McDonald, who is 67, was on a journey regarding Israel and anti-Semitism. Now, I'm not even sure what that means. That's a Jewish thing here. But she says here, but when I see someone who is on a journey about being anti-Semitic, I'm sorry, but I'm intervening. Excuse me. This is that holier-than-thou, arrogant piece of crap mentality that we see within the social justice warrior community. Who are you to intervene? Oh, excuse us, you little scumbag little person here. Seriously, I'm intervening. Well, we're intervening equally. And if you want to get in our face, we're going to intervene equally. And if you want to scream anti-Semite to the top of your lungs, well, I don't care anymore. I seriously don't care because Jews do not speak for me. They do not speak for my political interests. And it is not your right as a Palestinian to get in my face, tell me how to use my language, how to speak for my political interests. And if you want to intervene, we ought to be able to just steamroll you over. And I mean destroy you, smash you, absolutely grind you into the dust. Because that's her intent. And if it's her intent, it should be our intent. We have seen so much dirty politics by Jewish people over the past year. It has become so open and bald-faced that you cannot deny it. seriously, folks, the dirty, disgusting way in which Jews are playing politics right now shows them that they are not conducive to a healthy environment within our countries. They are not working on our behalf. They are working solely on what is good for Jews and what is good for Israel. And by default, that means everybody in our nations are losing out. I saw something a little bit kind of Trumpish here. Trump is crying, "Oh, you guys have passed the spending bill, but there's no money in it for the wall." Well, look, you moron, you gave $38 billion to Israel. What are you complaining about? You took your money and you gave it to a freaking foreign power. Stop whining. Start going to Israel and take their money back. You're not supposed to support them anyways. Where is Israel a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? They aren't. So basically, Mr. Trump, you gave all this money away and you gave it to Israel. And now you want more? But you want Israel to, look, take it back from Israel, you stupid fool. Seriously, go take it from Israel. Stop crying like a baby. You got a limited budget. Go take Israel's money. We don't need to support these clowns. They're nothing but a pack of losers over there. They're literally a pack of scheming, I don't know, anti-American, whatever you want to call them. I can't get dirty enough on the air here because we are going out over some FM broadcasting networks. But folks, they don't represent you. They're a different country. You want your wall? Heck, easy, man. Take it from the Israelis. Take it from the Jewish community. They're funneling $28, $30 billion a year to Israel equally. Stop the process. Look, just take their money. Just steal it. That's what they would do. Just steal it. That's the Jewish way. Steal it. All right, but that's the Oy Vey moment, I think, for Saturday, September the 22nd, first day of fall, too. Well, it's going to be the first day of fall later today, anyways. Again, brought to you by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year. And you can catch the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show every day. Of course, it's every day of the year, right? On Eurofolk Radio at Eurofolk Radio. Excuse me, eurofolkradio.com. So this it's brought to you again, of course, the Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored. He has to get back to me again because I don't know how he's getting paid now. Amazon's blocked his book. PayPal has blocked his book. See, this is a classic case of Jews deplatforming us, yet they want to complain when the Germans deplatform them. Think about it, folks. Now you see why the Germans maybe were so pissed off at Jews. And why they just kicked them out and said, we don't need you in our nation anymore. Because look what they're doing to us. Literally, look what they're doing to us. They're scheming. They're crying. Like what they did to the Russians, man. They just set up the Russians to shoot so that the Syrians would shoot down one of their aircraft. These Jewish people, folks, are so, so cowardly and sick, quite frankly, that they were willing to sacrifice 15 Russian servicemen and one Russian aircraft just to advance basically nothing in the grand scheme of the universe. Think about it. They destroyed the lives of 15 plus families, plus because there's extended families here. The Jewish people, and they think it's funny. And then they go out and they say, "Oh, we regret the loss of those." Yeah, like you regretted the loss of the lives on the Liberty, the USS Liberty, right? See, where, folks, do you start to get the backbone to really speak out against this level of enemy action by a foreign power against the people of the United States and our allies? Folks, the way I look at what's happening here, the only thing Jews care about, the only thing that Jews care about is the United States acting as an enforcer for their mafia kingdom called Israel, their organized criminal syndicate called Israel. So they are more than happy and more than willing and quite frankly very eager to get a lot of white, and of course we've got a fairly diversified military in America, but we've got a lot of good guys in America that are still in the white area of the world, right? And they're more than willing to sacrifice these men and some of these women and Russian men and some of their women equally, just to advance their goals. See, the primary instigator of problems in the world today are the Jewish people. Bottom line, they're the primary instigators. See, if you can destroy Israel as an operable entity, and I'm not saying that any of the Jews should be let out. I'm just saying treat Jews like Jews treat everybody else. I'm not saying do something worse than that. I'm saying treat Jews as Jews treat everybody else. Now, if that's the case, well, okay, you can firebomb them. No problem. That's how they treat people. You can carpet bomb their cities. That's okay. That's how they treat people. You can burn them alive with phosphorus. That's actually okay because that's how Jews treat everybody. And if you don't kind of see that as just pragmatic geopolitics, I'm not talking about morality here. I'm just talking about pragmatic geopolitics. I call it armchair generaling here. You're talking about an enemy of the American people. Literally an enemy of the American people. And to those who are still brainwashed into this social justice warrior, oh, the Jews are the chosen people, blah, 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 keep hammering. Folks, at some point, the dissonance starts to break away their confidence. Anyways, I got more. It's The Fetch. First hour in the books, everybody. September 22nd. See you again right after the break. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the putting aware. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. I don't know if my voice sounds a bit scratchy or not. It kind of feels scratchy. I've been drinking my coffee. The chat room is humming along, everybody. InsideTheEyeLive.com. InsideTheEyeLive.com. And then you can click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. Right now, conversation is pretty much around food, bacon, and Omei Restaurant, which Jews work to destroy, from one of our longtime listeners, Hanshan, in the chat room. So they're talking about that. So all I've got here, guys, when I see this type of language going on inside of the chat room is, one, the bacon. I used to get some really good bacon out of Jordan, man. We had some great, great bacon in Jordan. And Snippets is talking about a bacon curtain down there, a woman who had a bacon curtain down there. I'd like to, I don't know, it sounds edible. I'm sorry about that. It's early morning, but it sounds edible if it's some bacon curtain down there. So I don't know. It might be good. What else is talking about the Omei restaurant, the recipes, the Chinese food? All I've got left here, everybody, is spring rolls I brought from Jordan. I've got some very nice fresh, not fresh, but frozen spring rolls. And that's kind of, I'm thinking of having some tonight, but I just got to go get some spring roll sauce. I kind of miss not having the spring roll sauce. So it's a lot of food talk right now in the chat room. That's actually kind of cool. Telephone lines are going to be open all day. We do not have any guests lined up. So it's 3 hours of intelligent media with yours truly, The Fetch, right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Good morning to Spoon Man. Snips, thanks. She says, I sound great, but thank you. I still feel like I got a scratchy voice. Hanshan, I got your message the other day. Good to hear from you privately. That was kind of cool. Appreciated that. That's always nice to get some messages from back home. It's always great to see. And what can I say? You know, it's an interesting situation here in Riyadh, everybody. You know, we've got a lot of Americans coming over, and I haven't really talked to Americans too much. Mainly the Americans that come here, for the most part, and people always question me, Dennis, why are you Americans? And I'm like, don't say that about me. Why are you Americans so, sensitive? And we have like a group of sensitive Americans. But here's what I've noticed about the latest crop of Americans that have come over. You've got your diehard, what I call dingalings. The diehard dingalings, they just will never get it. They're going to be offended because they're basically a bunch of whining crybabies. They're going to try to use their whining to push you into being basically submissive to their views. Then you've got You've got the social justice warriors who are bought into it, vested into it, but they really don't believe it anymore, quite frankly. You could actually break them down. If you really pay attention, you can break down the SJWs who have become a little bit disheartened. Then you've got the silent people out there that really don't want to voice their opinion, but probably support you. They don't want to actually go out on a limb and say they support you, but they actually do support you. They figured out by now things are absolutely wrong. So, folks, what I'm seeing here happening is that if everybody plays the game smart and plays it wise, and we have to change our policies. We just cannot continue to import tens of millions of people and change this thing around in America and the West. But if you really start to focus, look, the diehard, the diehard dinglings, they're going to be impossible to sway because they're just the diehard dinglings. The diehard dinglings, within the diehard dingling crowd, you have some very, very violent, vicious people. We need to use all manner and rule of law to smash those people. I mean, I'm talking about beat them down into submission equally as they are looking to beat you down into submission. How that is done, once again, must be done within the framework of the law. And the law provides you many means and mechanisms to do that. Then again, you have the social justice warriors who really don't believe it anymore. Those are the ones you got to go after and convert. And then the silent majority, they support you. Really, there's a lot of people out there that if you really start to tune in and look at their facial expressions when you're talking, they actually do support you, but they're just afraid. Really, they're just afraid openly voice their concerns of support for you. So, folks, again, wherever you want to take your activism, wherever you want to take your voice and your actions, take it out there. Get it out there. Keep working hard. Politics is all about personnel. And believe me, if you are not participating in some way through the political process, you're basically handing over your future to people who do, because they will write the laws. And as you've seen, these are complete morons. Their laws do nothing to support your family. They do nothing to support your nation. Nothing at all. And it's quite a serious issue as we keep moving forward. Again, chatroom inside the iLive.com. Click on the live chat button. It's actually humming very, very well. Surprising. Not surprising. I just haven't seen it because I'm usually so busy trying to juggle all the technical issues. And then join me on the call line, 1-323-275. I almost forgot. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, a big issue, of course, something that we've been covering, and I've been dealing with this for over a decade. I'm probably one of the more experienced people out there at the tyranny used by the tech companies who have their platforms, and they say that they are running neutral platforms, and then they're not getting involved, but they are. Like WikiLeaks is one of those. You know, it's supposed to be a neutral platform, but it's not. It's highly moderated. It's highly controlled. It's essentially a publishing company. But when we get into issues like Facebook, Twitter, those are the two big ones, really, and they claim to be essentially a neutral platform, but they are clearly involved in suppressing and shaping political opinion. Now we're talking about publishing companies, and they should be regulated. You know, if they want to be a publishing company, that's their absolute right, quite frankly. But then we should then use our right to simply smash them. For fraud, racketeering. Again, if you're going to sit there and claim you're an open forum and you've got, you know, you're neutral and then you're sanctioning and silencing people, that's fraud. You're engaging people to create content for you, to create eyeballs for you, to spend time on your platform. And before you ever get to even benefit from the platform, these people find ways to actually block you and cut you out. Well, they've engaged in fraud. They're not being truthful here. This is a fraudulent operation. You've got the anti-racketeering. Whatever is out there to take these people out, it has to be taken out. These folks are damaging our ability. And we understand that Jews as an aggregate group are going to do everything they can in their power to censor everything. Folks, the main reason for censorship is to prevent you from understanding that behind all of this are Jewish people. Behind the problem, behind the curtain, Jewish people are at the forefront of making all of these problems. But it's becoming mainstream. People are really starting to talk about it. And one of those is, of course, we could call a friend of ours for now, and he may be an opportunist, but he comes from, I believe, the Daily Caller, I believe is his firm. In fact, the Daily Caller actually started following me recently on Twitter, which I thought was really cool. But I believe the Daily Caller, that's where Tucker Carlson actually originally came from. And he was doing a piece on tech tyranny, and here's some of the comments he had to say.
Google, there are new emails first obtained by this show. Now, Google, as you know, is the most powerful company in the history of the world. Virtually all human information flows through its software, and for that reason, Google shapes much of how the world understands reality. At the heart of Google's business is its search engine, which has a virtual monopoly on search in this country and others. Google search succeeds because it is blindingly efficient, but also because it is perceived as honest. When you search for a term on Google, the most popular results come to the top. The process is straightforward and democratic. That's what most people think. That's how it's perceived. And that's why the world trusts Google. But what if Google was lying to you? What if the results that you got were secretly weighted to get you to vote a certain way, to believe a certain thing? That would affect a lot of people and a lot of votes. In fact, it would be impossible to have a real democracy under circumstances like that. A small number of incredibly rich people would be in charge of everything, including your perceptions. Well, that is a major concern for all of us because Google is a very political company. We recently showed you email evidence of Google
efforts
to collude with a left-wing group in support of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Now, tonight we have internal documents that show that Google employees discussed corrupting the company's search engine to push propaganda on hundreds of millions of unsuspecting users. Here's what happened. Shortly after taking office, President Trump issued his now famous travel ban. Almost immediately after that, Google employees began plotting ways to undermine the president's executive order. On January 29th, a Google product marketing manager named Mackenzie Thomas sent an email to a group of fellow employees. Quote, there is a large brainstorm going on throughout the marketing org, she wrote, brainstorming about how to respond to Trump's order. Among Thomas's ideas was, quote, to actively counter algorithmically biased results for search terms such as Islam, Iran, Mexico, Latino, and so forth. In other words, Google employees wanted to alter the search results to make them more positive in certain cases for political reasons.
See, and it's not just that Google is doing this for political reasons. They're doing, it is for political reasons, but it's beyond just the search engine results for political issues on, let's say, the voting issues at hand. If you're going to do anything lately with, like, researching Western civilization, you find that we don't exist. White men with a child, it doesn't exist unless you've got a black child involved. You talked about white women with a child. You don't find white women having white children anymore. It's always racially intoned, having some type of miscegenation here, and always with black culture. And all of this thing is going on, and people are fairly silent, but they get it now. We're starting to see it. For instance, there was something, somebody did a search recently about important figures in European history, and you had nothing but African-American males dressed up in traditional Victorian-like era English outfits, as if there were no Sir Francis Bacon, there was no Shakespeare, there was no Tennyson, there was nobody out there that was actually white in the United Kingdom. This level of dishonesty, folks, to me, is a form of warfare against Western civilization. Now, when I see this level of warfare, I'm saying, quite frankly, that we should treat it as war. And that means that we should use all means possible to find out exactly who, to the man or the woman, was behind it and take them out. From a political point of view, they should be taken out of their jobs. They should be financially ruined. They should have their families ostracized. In other words, I'm going to take down the same troll approach that was applied to me 10, 15 years ago, because that's how I was treated. I was destroyed, per se. They went after me. They went after my family. These guys are so disgusting, folks. So disgusting. So amoral. so subhuman. What they did to me when my son was but in high school at the time, he was like 13. They called, they found my ex-wife's house. They found her number. They called her and they told her that my son had gotten somebody pregnant and that, you know, they want to sit and talk about this new problem that her son and my son had caused. It was all, of course, he doesn't even think about sex at that age. It wasn't that he wasn't that even there yet. But they are willing to do this level of low life, disgusting behavior just to try to ruin families, just to try to ruin people's childhoods, just to try to ruin everything about you. So if you have a Google employee out there, and I'm talking from a national perspective here, folks, I'm talking about from a national intel perspective. You may think it's a stretch here, but I don't. If you are out there purposely, willfully manipulating reality to skew it against the national interests of European Americans, then you're engaging in war. At what point do we say enough is enough? At what point do we not take that person out into public and basically tar and feather them? That's what happened in the past, and it kept things in check. It kept people honest, folks. You know what? In an all-white culture, you didn't have the looting that you have nowadays. Because you know what? We whites are just as hard on ourselves as everybody else. People say, you whites, you're not fair. No, we were just as hard on ourselves. We'll shoot ourselves. We'll shoot looters who are white. We don't care. Because we see it as the ultimate disgusting evil thing to do, to go take advantage of somebody who's suffering a catastrophic problem due to weather or something of this nature. I mean, how low do you gotta be to go out and try just shoot them on the spot. That was the old American way. In America, you had the duels at sunrise or sundown. Folks, you impinged on somebody's honor. You went out there with your six shooters and you shot at each other. This idea of this Jewish disarming and you can't fight and you're supposed to just be so willy-nilly and everything is fine, folks, it's not working. It's not working. So from a political point of view, and I'm talking about using the power and instruments of state, because if you're using the power and instrument of state, then it's purely legal, folks. Think about it. When some Jew whines to a police officer because you said something, and who knew that some stupid, idiotic Jew over there was listening, and you didn't really even mean much by it, but they're making it into some huge crime, arrested the police station because you said something that Juber didn't like? How is that not a tyranny equally? Sorry about that, folks. That's an old friend of mine. It's National Day tomorrow, and probably saying, come on, let's go out, dude. I ain't got to work tomorrow. Let's see. What else? Where was I? I got a little... But yeah, it's this, the bias we see within Google and Facebook. Folks, at some point, and if you study who's doing this stuff, study who's doing it, okay? Look at their faces. Look at their intellect. Do you realize that you are being tyrannized by some of the dumbest that we have developed over probably half a century? We aren't being tyrannized by people that actually have a brain on their head. We are being tyrannized by some of literally the dumbest moronic individuals that we have ever developed and come out of our education system. We are permitting ourselves to be tyrannized literally by sub-intellectual creatures who have zero social skills. They have zero intellectual skills, like this Palestinian woman. Oh, when I see something that is anti-Semitic, I have to intervene. What type of stupid thing is that to say to us? Who are you as an individual to be actually speaking on behalf of somebody and defending people that don't even deserve to be defended? I see too much idiotic stuff, quite frankly, out there. You know, in America, we've got, yeah, I talked to, if you were here Thursday, you know, we were talking about my run-in with some black guy that thinks that, you know, you can't use the N-word in his presence because you're white. Okay. Even if you mean it and use it in the way in which the black community actually uses it, the intellectual side of the black community, this whining totalitarian thinks that he can dictate to you what you can and can't say. And what's funny is I found out that this guy who just arrived here in the Middle East actually had the gall to try to call superiors within my chain of command and whine about it. I'm thinking that people, hey, did people call you? Why would they call me? Because you know what, folks? Let me tell you something. The world looks at the whiny American mentality with disgust and disdain. All of this social justice warrior nutcase whining, nobody. To us, this is a loathing, low-life piece of crap. What person goes out of their way to whine about something that is so stupid and silly? Seriously, who does that? Why would you do that? Why? Because you want some political advantage or some advantage because, oh, you're so weakened. Get out of our face. Seriously, get out of our face. If you want to bring this social justice warrior Jewish crap into another country, you need to go back to America, where perhaps you can go to some safe space on some campus and you can feel safe again and you can talk and you can just feel surrounded by, oh, you're just warm, fuzzy feeling because everybody doesn't say anything worth crap because basically they're afraid to talk. Nobody wants to hear it, folks. Stop it. We need to put an end to it. Another thing is this Kavanaugh. If you're not following American, I know Americans, most of us are Americans here listening to the show. But you've got the Kavanaugh hearings. And the Kavanaugh hearings, they're going on and on and on about how this guy supposedly did something in high school. Well, hell, how many of us guys and gals got involved in some stupid situation in high school that maybe under normal circumstances we wouldn't do it nowadays? And here we are 40, 50 years later, and these Jews want to use that as a reason to destroy a family and to destroy literally someone's career and reputation. How sick and stupid is that? You know, there was a situation where CNN brought a panelist of five women, and they're talking about this, about how, oh, this is terrible, and that the five women, fascinatingly, did not concur one bit with this lunatic social justice warrior moron working for CNN. I think this is going to play. I hope it's going to play.
A show of hands, how many of you believe Judge Kavanaugh when he says this didn't happen?
All five. I believe him.
I believe him.
How can we believe the word of a woman of something that happened 36 years ago when this guy has an impeccable reputation? There was nobody that has spoken ill will about him. Everyone that speaks about him, this guy's an altar boy, you know, a scout. He's, you know, because one woman made an allegation. Sorry, I don't buy it.
But in the grand scheme of things, my goodness, there was no intercourse. There was maybe a touch.
Right.
Can we really? 36 years later, she's still stuck on that? Had it happen?
I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old girl, which I respect. You know, I'm a woman. I respect. We're talking about a 17-year-old boy in high school with testosterone running high. Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school. Please, I would like to know.
Why would she come forward if this wasn't true? Because it has basically destroyed her family. She's had to move. She's gone undercover. She's gotten death threats. So if she's lying, why come forward?
She's also destroying his life, his wife's lives, his children's lives, his career. I mean, why didn't she come out sooner if she's telling the truth?
Why didn't she come out when he was going into the Bush White House? Why didn't she come out when he's been a federal judge for over a decade?
Why not have a thorough investigation instead of just the two of them, he said, she said?
Because it doesn't matter. It does not matter what everyone else has to say.
This is what happened, though, with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. The FBI investigated. It took 3 days. Done. Why not now?
Well, this is not the same. This is a high school kid. I mean, it's not Anita Hill story.
Does something that allegedly happened some 30-plus years ago matter today?
You can't judge the character of a man based on what he did at 17.
And I would hate to think that 30, 40 years later, somebody's going to destroy your life Because somewhere, exactly, at some party, you, it's not right, but maybe you touched somebody the way you were not supposed to.
And who brought the alcohol for these kids?
As women, though, do you have some sympathy for her, for what she's going through?
No, I have no sympathy. And perhaps maybe at that moment she liked him, and maybe he didn't pay attention to her afterwards, and he went out with another girl, and she got bitter, or whatever the situation is. They're kids.
See, folks, that's
a show of hands. How many of you?
That, folks, is the insanity right now coming out of the liberal Jewish community. They want to use stupid little events that are nondescript 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, 100 years ago and apply that to some morality today just to destroy somebody. It's wrong. And it's finally, it's encouraging to see people starting to speak up and against this. CNN should have had no, what's CNN doing trying to sell this type of story to begin with? It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Line. Intelligent Media. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent Media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. The largest listener, sponsored, and supported radio network going today. So, again, don't forget to do what you can and obviously support the network. I see something in the chat room here, Blackbird 9, Frederick C. Blackbird, of course, host of Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club. Mr. Jan Lamprecht, he is saying, at History Reviewed, has now been deplatformed by PayPal. He's been taken off. Also, he says he is currently working on some alternatives. So basically another victim of Jewish tyranny. Anytime PayPal takes somebody off something, we should see that as a victim of Jewish tyranny. And again, this is warfare. They're not deplatforming you, folks, because they are good people. They're deplatforming you because they have declared war. I saw an email the other day coming from an old colleague of mine. I worked with him only for about, 3 weeks. He was a former military guy and police officer in South Africa, and he came to work here, and he sent an email to one of my other colleagues asking if there was any work available, and he said it was actually kind of disheartening. He said that his farm has been targeted. It's going to be taken. He personally had invested quite a lot of money into that. That, of course, would have been under black rule, because this is all recent stuff. So his family has been, his farm has been targeted. It's being taken away. He's losing basically everything, and he's now looking to get out of South Africa and do what he can, because basically his father is basically going to be left without anything. And with the new laws of South Africa, they can't even get a job. And folks, that's the history. That's where Europe and that is where America is headed. If you do not stand up for your rights to control the destiny of your own nation, there's absolutely zero reason, folks, why you should be permitting people from Eritrea, Somalia to come to your nation and basically start to take over your country. They've had nothing to do with this land. They've done nothing to serve the people of this land. They have done nothing to build the country. They are literally coming over and just stealing and taking over infrastructure that your family's built over literally decades and centuries in some cases. And just to hand them the franchise to now take over the country, this is cynical. They should not ever be allowed to do that. In fact, I'm all for rescinding citizenship. Quite frankly, just denying them citizenship. You want to stay, you pay a certain amount of money per year, we'll allow you to work, and the second that you don't pay that, you're out of here, just as we have to do in the Middle East. Exact same thing. I think it's a fair thing to do based on what I've seen and how people are operating out there. What else? Let's see. The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politic Wear, September 22nd. It's now... what should I say? Join me in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. A lot of great people there. It's moving along. You got Hanshan Blackbird there. And what else? Hanshan, Fake War, Blau Ocean. A lot of people that have longtime people there. A lot of people there in the chat. So just kind of say hello. Telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, one thing that I had talked about years ago, And this is a war on men, war on males, war on basically masculinity. And one of the things that I have always said is, where are the women on this issue? You know, we guys have been talking about it a little bit, but where are the women on this issue? Don't you women understand that this is your children? These are your boys. These are your men. These are your uncles. This is your family. It's not like we're not in this together, ladies. So where are you on this issue? Because every time I see somebody going after somebody, I'm like, where are the women equally? Why is it that we men talk, but then the women are like cowering in silence? And that, folks, is changing. Literally, that is changing. There was something on the confirmation hearing again with Kavanaugh, and another panel of three more women were talking, and here's what they had to say. Okay, it might help if it's cued, huh? Let me try that again. It was good timing if it was cued. Oh, I'll tell you, sometimes Fetch needs a producer, everybody. And but let me cue this real quick. It was cued properly. It just was. Now it's cued. All right.
You know, Neil, the one thing that's really been getting to me over the past week is the fact that innocent until proven guilty has always been such a cornerstone of our judicial system. But lately, it seems that people are approaching this as if it were guilty until proven innocent. We all have brothers, sons, fathers, or friends that are men. We need to be able to protect them and step up for them the same way that we step up for our daughters, sisters, mothers, and girlfriends. And I don't think that's what's happening right now. People are automatically assuming that Brett Kavanaugh is guilty. I don't agree with it. I think that people need to stand up. And if she's going to speak out against this, if this were a true allegation, then people will listen. But we can't automatically assume that he's guilty and that this lady is telling the truth.
You know,
there you go. See, that's what we want to hear more about. Folks, we're all in this together. There is a transnational force that, quite frankly, is an enemy of all of us Americans. Now, we on this show are going to identify that transnational force as being Jewish. You do not have to go down that far of a rabbit hole to raise the issue. You don't have to do that. Here on this show, we're going to be fairly clear about the target enemy because we believe that is the target enemy, and we're going to speak about it. We don't care at this stage whether somebody says, oh, that's anti-Semitic, oh, that's hate speech, because the very nature of telling you that it's hate speech is itself a form of hate speech. They hate what you have to say, and therefore they're going to try to silence you. Anytime they tell you it's quote-unquote anti-Semitic, what they're basically saying is you shall have no other, go back to your Ten Commandments, you know, you shall have no other God before you, right? Well, all anti-Semitism says is that you shall have no other race of people ruling over you than Jews. That's all that charge of anti-Semitism really is all about, bottom line. Another strange story coming out of, again, this transnational idea. And if you look at the history of the Soviet Union, what they did was they used a con called psychiatry, this highly subjective, I'm talking about psychiatry here, not psychology, psychiatry. And they use this highly subjective science, 100% owned, operated, and manned by the Jewish community. And they got to basically rule over you in an indirect way, not an indirect way, a very direct way, that was outside of the judicial system into a pseudoscience that they controlled. And now we hear, get this, Marine Le Pen. Marine Le Pen, folks, is the leader of the right group, the Nationalist Front in France. She's the head of it. Literally the head, folks. And she's been ordered by a court to undergo psychiatric evaluation. Ordered by a court for what? Because she tweeted three tweets about executions that were being carried out by Daesh militants in Syria. My goodness, there were so many tweets out there tweeted out about Daesh executions in Syria, and yet a court is going to tell a head of a national party that she has to go get a psychiatric evaluation because she did that. And guess what, folks? It wasn't even yesterday. It wasn't last week. It was 3 years ago. She's being ordered to have a psychiatric. Now, I'm saying the same thing. Folks, that's a declaration of war. Who is that court? Who is that judge? Who are the people behind the judge? Again, all means possible. This level of tyranny must absolutely be put and nipped in the bud till people start to respect the rule of law. There is no excuse for this judge to have done that. It's absolutely absurd. It's insane. The person who should be sent for the psychiatric evaluation should be that judge. And we ought to make sure that that judge, just as that judge intends for everybody else, to never come out of there with their head back on their shoulders. We must, and as folks, you're at war. We see it everywhere. It never stops. Now get this. The investigation relates to three graphic images that Le Pen posted on a social media network in 2015. They're going after someone from 2015. This is typical Jewish, really, BS. Just typical. Now, according to a copy of the court order, which Le Pen posted to Twitter on Thursday, the judge wants the evaluation to assess if she suffers from any mental illness and if that could have affected her understanding of what she was doing when she posted the tweets. Folks, that's 3 years ago. Who the hell is, excuse my language, who the heck is that judge? What the heck is that guy doing? It's absolutely insane, folks, what we see coming from the Jewish community. I would like to know, what are the relationships of that judge to the Jewish community? Seriously. Because I suspect if you're going to use this Bolshevik tactic of psychiatric evaluations to try to take out your political opponents, then you are part of the Bolshevik system. You're an enemy of the state and should be dealt with accordingly. Because, folks, if you're forcing someone into a psychiatric evaluation, aren't you trying to equally take that person out? Think about it. Le Pen labeled the story absolutely crazy, and she's right, or the order to be absolutely crazy, and she's right. She says, I thought I had experienced everything. Well, no. For having condemned Daesh horrors and tweets, the quote-unquote justice system is putting me through psychiatric tests. Just how far will they go, she wrote on Twitter. She told reporters she would skip the test, saying, I'd like to see how the judge would try and force me to do it. And that's what you have to do. But no, we should force that judge. Seriously, that judge should be forced to go take the test now. Because if you are so insane that you're going to go force somebody into taking a psychiatric evaluation for something that is basically posting a couple of pictures, you got problems mentally. That judge has mental problems. All right, we want to play the, oh, I'm holier than thou and more self-righteous than thou. Then let's just play the game. That judge has mental problems. All of us should just say, no, citizen's arrest. Let's put this guy under an evaluation, under a people's psychiatric order. We're going to find him insane and then take him out. He's no longer allowed to be on a judge because he clearly doesn't have the mental capacity to be sitting in that position. What type of moron goes out and wants to cause someone to have a psychiatric evaluation because they posted a picture about a Daesh militant and you're a political figure to begin with? See, the level of idiocy that we see here, folks, seriously, seriously knows no bounds. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Fun story came out of Italy this week. And America needs to get going for sure as far as its nationalism go. But it's kind of becoming more and more healthy in Italy, in Hungary, in Poland. And a lot of the EU, EU apparatchiks, not technocrats, I think technocrats probably works, but they want to impose upon the Italians, the Hungarians, the Poles, some unilateral forced immigration. They want to deny the people of Italy the right to self-determination. They want to deny the people, the Hungarians, of the right to self-determination. They want to deny the Poles their right to self-determination. But quite frankly, the EU wants to deny everybody a right to self-determination. The EU, as an instrument of domination and tyranny, wants to lord over everybody but not be held accountable for all the problems that they cause. And then, as we know, the EU is very much into flooding Europe and destroying Europe. Okay, thank you. I'm just getting distracted here from private messages. Thank you, Matt. The EU wants to destroy Europe. I mean, that's kind of clear. The whole process of the EU is the destruction of Europe. And Salvini, Matteo Salvini, I follow this guy. I kind of like the guy, quite frankly. He's the Italian prime minister, not prime minister, the Italian interior minister. He's part of the League of Five, something like that. And there's a migrant rescue ship, the Aquarius too, something like that. And it, quote unquote, well, basically it's involved in human trafficking. And so it tried to traffic another 10 people this week. And what happened was they called the Libyan Coast Guard. The Libyan Coast Guard, okay, said, that's great, deliver them to our port. Good job. The Aquarius 2 said, no, we can't do that. Your ports aren't safe. So basically they're insulting the Libyans now, at least some of the legitimate authorities there. So they slapped the Libyans in the face. Then they sail on to Italy, and they've only got like 10 people on board. It's a big ship, but only 10 people on board. And they say to the Italians, we have rescued 10 people. Open your ports. We need to dump them on you. And Matteo Salvini say, hey, you can dump them anywhere you want except for Italy. You can go anywhere you want. We don't care, but you're not coming to Italy. And, of course, everyone's now in uproar about Italy and how this is a racist and all this crap. And Matteo Salvini is saying, look, we are not. And you can't blame him at all. We are not, as Italians, going to be lectured by the EU about what is not and is not racism here. He said, over the last few years, Italy has received over 700,000. It's almost a million people, guys, many of whom were illegal, and it never received any cooperation from other European countries, Salvini said. So we don't take lessons from anyone, least of all the United Nations in this case, which has again proved itself to be biased, pointlessly costly, and badly informed. So if you've heard stories lately about the United States denying funds to various groups or organizations within the United Nations that support Palestinian survivability, now Salvini and the Italians are saying pretty much the same thing, that they are going to start reviewing their payments to the United Nations. They may look to cut funding for the United Nations. This week, by the way, tomorrow, that's right, tomorrow is going to be the start of the UN General Assembly. They've got like 313 different programs that they're going to be doing there. It's starts tomorrow. Their programs cover everything from climate and environment to conflict and migration, cyber or data, economic development, health, youth leadership, global goals. They've got a whole week dedicated to quote-unquote global goals, then general development, education, non-communicable diseases. They've got one whole track just for tuberculosis, another track for women and girls, and another track for youth leadership. So that's actually going to start tomorrow. But the UN is, again, in the crosshairs of a lot of different countries because of the way it is pushing for nations to destroy their, I don't know what you want to call it, I guess their sovereignty, really. If you think about sovereignty, sovereignty means you have the ability to protect your borders. And I know that Trump this week was crying because he didn't get his money to fund his wall. I'm saying, dude, take it from the Israelis. It's very simple. Stop handing $38 billion to the Israelis and use it there. I mean, don't complain to the American people that you don't have your money. Take it from the frickin' Israelis, dude. Hello, Trump and your people. Take it from the Israelis. It ain't so hard, dude. We don't support Israel. We don't work for Israel. Israel is a rogue state. It is a criminal state. It has declared war on America, both on 9/11, the USS Liberty. These people are not our friends. Take it from the Israelis and kick all the Israelis out of our country. That'll be a very start to helping America to begin with. And then start reining in all of these Jewish political NGOs that are operating on our soil. That'll start, Mr. Trump. You know, all this tough talk, but when it comes to the real issue, man, you might as well be a powder puff cake, dude. I swear, you know, you're like a piece of grass, man. Just bend. As soon as the wind blows, you bend. You know, I've never seen a guy bow down faster than Trump when it comes to Israel. He's worse than everybody I've ever seen. Anyways, you know, when we look to Syria. You know, the Israelis have admitted to attacking Syria 200 times in the past 4 to 5 years. 200 times. They bombed Syria 200 times. Now, if you cannot protect your borders and you cannot protect your civilian airspace and your people on the ground from foreign attack, you have a serious problem about basically being a sovereign state. Because full sovereignty means that you're able to have absolute control of your borders. America, even though it has immense power, an immense ability to project that power across the globe here, it is in its own way not a sovereign state, not a sovereign nation. It can't control its own voting. It can't control its own immigration policies. It's been co-opted by internationalists, globalist forces that have pushed upon the American people a system of immigration and migration that runs counter to the American interests. And equally shows that America has no sovereignty. Yes, it is exceedingly powerful from an economic point of view as far as power projection goes. No one's going to argue that. But you can't control your own borders. You have a president who would give away billions upon billions of dollars to support walls in a place like Israel, but he won't use that same money to go build his own wall. And then he cries to us, the American people, about how, where's my money? Well, look, dude, you gave it away. Hungary, for its part, Macron. And he was talking about Macron and Juncker. Juncker is head of the EU, Macron is head of France. And he says, quote in here, he says, their aim, meaning Macron and Juncker, is to change the composition of the people living in Europe. Folks, to change the composition of the people living in Europe is a de facto recognition of a genocidal agenda by these two individuals. Have you seen Macron? Now, I don't have a problem with the age differences of men and women who are hitching up together. But Macron has no family. Macron has no stake in the future of France. Macron is married to some 72 or 67-year-old woman. And he's what, 36? She's basically double his age. He has no interest in the future. Juncker has no interest in the future. And if you start to go down the line of political agendas that are seeking to destroy Western civilization, what are you going to find? You're going to find a bunch of Jews who don't care about you because they have Israel. Or you're going to find a bunch of LGBTQPCJ activists. The CJ is cannibal and Jew. Activists. Who are only interested in it for what they can take out of it today. Which means basically they just want to steal everything. Because they have no stake in your future. Everything about a future involves investing for a better future, folks. You cannot convince some LGBTQPCJ freak activists to invest in the future because to them there is no future. It's what type of gluttony can I get out of this today? And since the sexual thing only goes for so long, it's like, when can I even finish that? I got to do it in the next 10 years. I got to destroy everything within 10 years. It's an insane world, folks, but you got to stand up. All right, everybody, it's the Patch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Today's date, September the 22nd, 2018. A good Saturday morning and now afternoon to those of you on the East Coast of the United States and Canada. And, of course, to those of us east of that, Europe and Asian time zones, it's now early evening to middle evening now. So a good evening to everybody there. And thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Got a great audience today. The chat room's humming along. Telephone lines are still open. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I don't know if you heard J.K. Rowling. I saw that in the chat room. Got a story about J.K. Rowling. She's in the news again today. And it's like, I don't know what to even say here. First, I got to see if I can open the stupid article because it's a Jewish press thing. So there it is. Yeah, it's coming out of the Telegraph, I think, Jewish Telegraphic Agency. And J.K. Rowling is such a nutcase. You know, I don't know how we fell for the Harry Potter franchise, but you know, now that she's been revealed, this woman's a complete nutcase, and she's so pro-Israel, she's anti-Western. Everybody's evil in her mind except for Jews, apparently. I haven't quite figured her out in that regard, but it's kind of down there. And she's come out with a new book. That's right. She's got a new book. And this is how obsessed, folks, the Jewish people really are. And I made this out on a tweet. I know some of you have seen the tweet, but I put it out on a tweet. It's like, you know what? You Jews are so freaking obsessed with your anti-Goyim attitude. It's like it never stops. I'm just moseying along down the road, and the next thing you know, J.K. Rowling's in the news, and she's a warning about the dangers of anti-Semitism in England. Well, no, the English have a right to their own self-determination, and that by default precludes Jews, so that's not anti-Semitic, it's pro-European. It has nothing to do with Jews. Jews, get out, get out, get out. You don't go practice your self-determination, but not on British soil. So she's basically trying to downplay the fact that she doesn't believe that you have a right to criticize Jews. You know, you're supposed to worship Jews. You're supposed to bow down to them. If they run your country, you're supposed to say, yes, Mr. Jew, whatever you want from me, this is okay. I'm just a rectified goy idiot, and I don't have any backbone or spine. And whatever you want to railroad down us, and that includes filling our country with thousands and perhaps tens of thousands of Pakistanis who don't care one iota about the British people. Hey, that's all well and good. The book is called Lethal White. There you go, buddy. There's another anti-white thing for you. It's the fourth series in Rowling's Cormoran Strike Mystery Series. Quite frankly, it's all garbage. I've never even bothered with it. But the plot line at least gets to know what type of obsessed nutcase this woman truly is. It says it features a pair of hard left. Oh, hard left, no doubt. Whoa. No, she just kind of reversed that one, right? Features a pair of hard left political activists who believe Zionists are evil and have a stranglehold on Western governments. Now, understand what she's really doing here, folks, because this is actually a fairly common tactic within the Jewish community. They will basically take something that is actually true. They will then try to mock it and scoff at it to get you to believe that it's to be mocked and scoffed at, so that the actual reality of the statement at hand is no longer believed or believable to you. So in this case, as she says here, that she's saying that features a pair of hard left political activists who believe Zionists are evil and have a stranglehold on government. So both of those statements are true, especially in the UK, folks. The UK, especially in America, too. Come on. I mean, look at America. You cannot tell me the Trump administration is not Zionist, Israeli, Jewish centric to the core. That would be so absurd to say otherwise. The Trump administration is basically a Jewish cesspool. Now, yeah, it has its nationalist trappings to it. Okay, we will, and that's a good thing. No one's going to argue that part of it. But at the end of the day, it's still a foreign occupied government. It's still under the domination of Jewish cesspools, period. So now it says, in her newest book, she includes a character whose quote-unquote obsessive anti-Zionism morphs into anti-Semitism. See how it's working, folks? See, the Jewish people understand that there is a rising revolt and disgust with Jews within their nation. Bottom line, you cannot pick up a periodical, folks, inside of the UK right now and not have Jews shoving this anti-Semitic crap down your throat all the time. It's impossible. Every freaking 20 minutes, they're doing something about this. So basically, you can't get it out of your mind in the UK if you're following any ounce of politics, because everything about British politics is surrounding this issue. So now they want to come out, use their assets once again. Understand, this is how the Jewish power structure works. They're using their Kabbalistic assets in this case. In this case, we're talking about a writer, not an actor, but a writer, who's writing something about how reality as it's unfolding should be mocked and scoffed at, but it's supposed to be a warning to you to not go down this dangerous path. See, it's kind of like screaming, not see, and it's, don't look at what the reality is. Don't see what the reality is. It says here, Jimmy Knight, I think Jimmy Knight must be a character in the particular book. It says, Jimmy Knight's extreme hatred of Israel has led him to hate Jews. Well, first of all, okay, let's just say it's true. Okay, he hates Jews. As someone who's not Jewish, who cares? In fact, I can understand it. I would just say, so what? You don't like Jews? I good. I think we should all take that attitude. And we should take the attitude that this is a bad thing. Anybody who imposes upon us that this is some type of bad, irrational emotion, we should now be targeting that person so that they are basically afraid to even push that type of agenda anymore. There's nothing wrong with hating Jews after what you've seen them do to you. Look what they just did. Look what they just did in the UK, in Syria. They destroyed a country. They've created conditions upon which millions and hundreds of thousands and millions, really, of people have been allowed to, quote-unquote, migrate into your nations. They've opened up tons of rape epidemics across Europe, tons of crime epidemics across Europe. They are openly vocal about supporting the destruction of the national integrity and the cultural integrity of Europe. And they've admitted that they're going to be resented for it anyways. They know this is true. So the fact that it's all true, why should you now be ashamed of having a complete loathing and disgust for these people? It's human nature. It's natural. Yeah, it's good. It's just plain good. Yeah, okay, what's the problem with it? And we should just call out, yeah, so what? What's the problem with it? In other words, it has to be fed back so that they explain it to you and you don't assume or make any assumptions about the way they forced it upon you. This is how I would do it, because I'm sick of it. I'm not gonna take these words and then inject my own feelings about it. I'm gonna say, okay, so what? You hate Jews, big deal. I don't care. It's not my business. In fact, I'm surprised more people don't hate Jews, Ms. Rowling. I'm really surprised. In fact, this book is basically something I would say this is, you should be charged for a hate crime, because the way you've written this book, people are going to start hating Jews more, so you're encouraging hate, and you should be charged with a hate crime for bringing this out. How's that, Ms. Rowling? Because the fact you wrote this book, you're invoking in me this, oh, see, you're just playing the stupid game with them. Because again, it's all this staged, feigned BS that they want to put forward. Okay, so start playing the feigned, fake BS that they want to put forward. Ms. Rowley, this book makes me want to hate Jews. Just as you said here, wow, it's very effective. Why shouldn't we charge you, Ms. Rowling, for a hate crime now? Because you're making people hate people. Oh, haram. That's bad. That's Arabic. But shame on you, Ms. Rowling. In the book, get this, I wouldn't trust him. Even I wouldn't trust him if it was anything to do with Jews, Knight's ex-wife tells a detective. He doesn't like them. Israel's the root of all evil, according to Jimmy. Zionism. I got sick of the bloody sound of the word. You'd think they'd suffered enough, she says of Jews. Well, there you go again. She's basically trying to mimic reality, but then make it into a fictional situation to where you try to run and hide from the reality that Jews are actually creating for themselves. They haven't suffered enough. You want to know who suffered enough? The Germans suffered enough. You want to know who suffered enough? The Russians have suffered enough. You want to know who suffered enough? The Palestinians have certainly suffered enough. You want to know who has suffered enough? The Syrians have suffered enough. I haven't seen anybody suffering in Israel. In fact, not for a second. And the fact that they were drilled out of Germany, I quite frankly understand. I see Jews drilling us out of our own countries right now. So I don't see, I think the Germans probably were correct in drilling these people out. In fact, we're probably going to have to do the same thing one day. And they know that. That's why they're creating this type of books, you guys. They know this. They're doing everything they can to keep you from to keep you hesitating. They want you to hesitate. They want you to cause a pause. They want you to think that, oh, I can't do anything. They want this from you. Now, according to this story here, and it's coming from, again, a Jerusalem Telegraphic Agency, says Rowling's depiction of a far-left anti-Semite comes at a time of record-high anti-Semitism in Britain, where she lives, of course. And, of course, in Europe, the anti-Jewish sentiment runs mainly within the left. So what's Rowling going to do? She's going to target Britain's left simply because they are supporting the Palestinians more than the vile, disgusting, racist entity called Israel. So it's all just a big facade and a game using Kabbalistic spells, in this case Rowling's writing talent, to now create some type of aura of loathing and disgust for the reality that people are starting to feel. In other words, they want people to start hating themselves for feeling the way that they do. They want to question. They want people to question themselves. You know, in September of 2018, which is still now, a poll found that nearly 40% of British Jews, and this is the funny thing, would seriously consider emigrating if Corbyn became prime minister. Would seriously consider. Oh, big freaking deal. Again, the British people have a right to self-determination. If 40% of the Jews of Britain want to get the heck out, get them out and then revoke their citizenship so they can never come back. Because they are your problem. Folks, as you as British people, they are your problem. We Americans have the same problem, trust me. All the nations of the West have this problem. You had national figures like Scholz in Germany saying vocally the only reason Germany exists is to serve the German people, and that was a Jewish politician at the national level. So it's not a secret, folks. The Jewish people inside of Sweden are working night and day, literally toiling 24 hours to destroy the Swedish people and the Swedish country. So why should then the Swedes say, okay, this is obviously not good for us, then get rid of the elements that are harming their country and their nation? Quoting here, most UK Jews in my timeline, I guess she's talking about Twitter here, are currently having to feel this kind of crap, so perhaps some of us non-Jews should start shouldering the burden. No, we don't, Miss Rowling. We're actually tired of non-Jews like you aiding and abetting a clear enemy against our national interests. Judaism is not, even if you look at Judaism as a religion, you cannot read the Torah and not see a sadistic, self-centered, disgusting piece of stuff that is so bad that after 5,000 years, only 10,000 people actually adhere to it, or 10 million. Think about that. After 5,000 years on the global scene, or whatever the case is about the Jewish religion, there's only 10 million people. It ain't like it's like a big magnet to where people want to just flock to this, because most people understand what a sick, disgusting place Judaism really is. You go in and it's like, you know what? To me, folks, you want to play hardball with Jewish people. The second we find a Jew that has committed adultery, you force 100 Jews to stone that person to death. You say, you practice your religion. This is your religion. You practice it. You want to bring this barbarity to our nations. You practice it. Every single one of you must throw the stone. That person there is an adulteress. It's not our religion. We're not going to apply it to us. You're going to apply your criminal code to yourselves. Because if you look at the Jewish criminal code, literally everything is basically punishable by death. Don't tell me these people are moral. Don't tell me that they're this wonderful blazing beacons of light upon the planet here. Because all of that is just BS. The world has rejected Judaism as a moral system simply because it is one of the most primitive, barbaric systems ever devised by mankind. Ever. And we've allowed it to persist within our midst, and we have never demanded that Jews practice what they preach. They demand that you do what they preach, but we've never demanded that Jews practice what they preach. And if there's such a benevolent, wonderful, overjoyous system here, why you only have, you've been around for 5,000 years, and your religion only has 10 million adherents out of a planet of 6 billion people, and yet you want to dictate to the rest of the 6 billion people how we're supposed to live? Folks, it's a barbaric system. Stop sugarcoating it. Their moral code says everything is punishable by death by stoning people. And then you wonder where everybody gets this barbarism from. Rowling thinks she's clever. She thinks she's more intelligent than Western people. She's such a genius. Oh, I'm so clever. I'm a writer. Oh, look at me. And she says here that Judaism is a religion and not a race. Well, actually, Miss, you know, Rowling, the courts have said that Jews are a race. So let's go by what we are getting from here. It's obviously that Ms. Rowling does no crap. She wants to use these tired old canards advanced by the Jewish people to hide behind the fact and the reality that they are essentially a barbaric people. You can't, I'm a religion today. Oh, no, get out of my face. Rowling is not a Jewish people, okay? She's got 14.4 million Twitter followers. And she commented, posted that Arabs can't possibly be anti-Semite because Arabs are Semites too. Well, it makes sense to me. And Rowling tweeted a photo of a dictionary definition. And it said hostility to or prejudice against Jews. Okay, fine. Who cares, Miss Rowling? Jews are anti-Goyim. Where is your feelings towards the Jewish people? Why are you permitting Jews to be anti-Goyim within our countries? We have died to the tune of 100 million plus for Jews to get their Israel. Now they don't want to leave our countries equally? There's no reason why we have to like a group of people who have openly and vocally said we are here to destroy you. It is such a stupid human emotion, folks, if you think you're supposed to stand by idly and just allow people to just murder you on the spot. That's not how the world works. That's not how competition works. See, the cleverness of Jews, really, in this great big scheme of things, is that they have created this idea that they're the victim, that you're supposed to not do anything to their criminality towards you because of a past that you had nothing to do with. Whatever happened in the past is not our concern. What is our concern is what is happening to us today. Jews are Semitic bullies. Let's call them for what they are. They're bullies. They want to take you off of Twitter. They want to take you off of Facebook. They want to take you off of every single major forum or platform that is out there. They want to benefit by laws passed by our nations using the technology that our citizens and our tax dollars have paid for But then they do not want to be subject to any of these laws, but they want to control and dominate over everything. You can gloss over the abuse that Jews are committing all the time, but it's not going to serve your interests. The idea that they should be able to take people off of financial platforms when basically they were grown using legal loopholes, or not legal loopholes, but legal advantages that, quite frankly, were passed by all of us, literally all of us, means that they should adhere to supporting and ensuring the rights of all of us. Not, oh, as soon as we get it all built, we change the rules. You know, there's a Jewish mother. She is said to have, quote unquote, tweeted an anti-Semitic bully comment in school. And Rowling's like taking this, oh, I'm so sorry. Know that you're not alone and that a lot of us stand with you. Where do you stand, Rowling, about all of these Jewish professors out there that are making comment after comment after comment of anti-white statements daily? You know, I get so many, not so many, but I get a reasonable amount of people that come over here from the education system in America. And they say the amount of hostility by the Jewish community towards white America is off the charts. But I don't hear Rowling talking about that. This is all fine and dandy, isn't it, Ms. Rowling? To have a bunch of sadistic, whining, actually offensive and aggressive Jewish professors focus solely on destroying the white students within their class. Yet you want us to care about some mother who claims something. Yet we have documented evidence of professors day in and day out making anti-Western European, anti-white statements within our own campuses that we built, not Jews, not Mexicans, not Chinese. We built these campuses. In fact, the whole idea of a university system largely comes out of the enlightenment of Western civilization. Rowling believes in genocide. She believes in supporting Israel. You cannot support Israel and not believe in genocide, because that's exactly what's happening to the Palestinian people. Rowling is essentially a despot. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Welcome back. Final half hour, I believe. You know, been a good show today. The quality, I know, has been improved. You get what you pay for, everybody. I see a new name in the chat room, Wynn Miller. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the chat room. That is a new show there. So thanks all the comments in the chat room, guys. We're trying to follow both things. I'm here in Riyadh. I got my gear kind of set up. I got the two laptops going. And we've got, what do you call that? We got the professional bandwidth, you know, the paid stuff is going on the side. And so basically we're doing okay today. Thanks for the thoughts on the voice and the breath and the health and all that. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, everybody. I'm still not 100% for sure. It was whatever I got was really tough down there in Jazan, but I am feeling much, much better now. Thank you. And actually, I don't feel good as far as my voice. I feel like it's scratchy. I feel like it's a little bit off, but nonetheless, it's a lot better than it was 2 weeks ago when I was struggling down in Jazan. It was very, very difficult. Seriously, it was a tough go back then. All right, everybody. First of all, say hello in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. That'll get you in the door, and I'm trying to pull things up here. I got different mouses. There we go. I think I got the right mouse there. And let me pull this thing up. Also, telephone lines. You'd like to call in real quick. 323-275. That's plus one in America. 323-275-1314. That's plus one. 323-275-1314. Love to hear from you. You know, we've been on Twitter a while. We've noticed that we haven't had any problems lately. Seems like we got a little bit of, what do you call this? We got the shadow ban removed, so we've seen our numbers starting to grow again. Not as big as we would like, quite frankly. But the Gab numbers, all of the listeners over from Gab, thank you so much. I mean, the Gab network. You can follow me at Radio ITEL on Gab. You can follow me at Radio ITEL on Twitter. You can follow me on Fetcho dot Dennis Fetcho, I believe, on Facebook. I'm not sure how it is on Facebook. We have not done any YouTube. Just simply because we're here in Saudi Arabia. I don't have quite the rig set up to do any recording yet. I'm kind of stuck in a corner here. I could always just, like, I guess, record it and stare at the camera. But no, folks, nothing's wrong with YouTube. As far as we know, the YouTube franchise is still okay. We're just not able to really do anything. So I'll try to fix that. I got to just basically buy a desk so I can set up a mini set here. Other than that, everything's going great, everybody. Seriously, everything is great. The Gab is going great. Thanks for all the new followers on Gab, for sure. I mean, that thing has really taken off really, really well. What else? Here in Saudi, it's, again, going to be a holiday tomorrow. So I got the weekend off. I got a lot of work to do, to say the least, but tomorrow's going to be off. And that's nice. It'll let me get caught up a little bit, that type of thing. What else? Things back home are going great. Dodgers, last I heard, were doing good. I'm a big Dodger fan, as many of you guys know, so that's pretty good. It was an interesting, I saw some strange story, by the way, about the Arctic ice, you know? And they're like, scientists say, you know, a giant wall under the ice can prevent the water from creating some type of huge tidal wave or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? You guys can't even build a wall on your border with Mexico or anywhere else for that matter, unless it's Israel. And I'll tell you, what can you say, man? Sometimes it amazes me. But right now, the big thing coming out of Israel, there's two issues, of course, with the Israelis right now. Shoot down. I mean, you're going to have to watch now the next. They declared some type of peace treaty between Erdogan, Turkey, Syria, and the Russians. But it looks like essentially what they're trying to do is we, meaning the Americans, were trying to wrest Idlib away from from the Syrians, essentially, you know, just literally trying to whittle it away from the Syrians. And I'm not sure the Syrians are going to be all too keen on this, but we're going to have to really watch. You know, someone was talking earlier in the chat room about sushi, and I saw this first thing that pops up. I don't know if this is a conspiracy or what, but I just pulled up my Twitter account. It says Americans save $9 on sushi, but aren't ready to demand for affordable. Americans save $9 on sushi, but aren't ready to demand for affordable health care. That's a Kaiser report. I don't know, Kaiser, know what you're even talking about. Let's see. Yeah, the debates down in Texas. First of all, I want to say again back to our people in North Carolina and South Carolina with all the flooding that you guys are going through right now. We understand it's really quite a big issue with the flooding. And we're just thinking about you, and stay safe and stay dry to the best of your ability. You know, if you remember the Bob Tuscan tussle years ago, I got to the point to where I got so infuriated with this guy. I told him, why don't you just tattoo a big Star of David on your forehead? And it's funny. There's a tweet put out by a gentleman called Zogastani, and it's regarding Tommy Robinson, and that's exactly what they've done. They put this like a Star of David tattoo on Tommy Robinson's forehead. It's actually kind of cool. What else is news out there? I wanted to pull something up. Well, you know what I wanted to get to, and I forgot. But let me see if I can find it real quick. The trade war between the United States and China. And Bannon has basically said, look, and Bannon claims to have said essentially that China, not China, but Trump and he are – you know, had very talked a lot about this upcoming trade war between China and the United States. And as you know, we've just put another $200 billion worth of tariffs on China. And essentially what Bannon seems to be saying here is there is about $500 billion worth of goods that can be tariffed from China, $500 billion. And what they seem to be saying here, what Bannon seems to be saying, is that essentially our jobs, meaning American jobs, there was a political decision, and there really was, to ship those jobs off to China. And in the process, they were going to try to create a large middle class of Chinese, because China has more people than America. And then the big corporations were now going to be able to sell all of their goods and wares to the Chinese and leave the Americans to basically wilt away and die off. And in the process, they would flood our nations with a bunch of third world non-integratable people and destroy America. That essentially was the strategy. These were all political decisions. They were human-generated strategies. It's not like capital simply goes without any direction from regulatory prowess. Capital has to go, not has to, but capital goes where it is best suited by the regulatory class to attract the capital. But what they did in America is they basically regulated America to the point where it became too expensive to operate, while at the same time created non-regulated areas like China to make it very, very easy for people to move their money offshore. It became basically a good business case. The ultimate goal, according to Bannon here, is not just to force China in this trade war to give up its quote-unquote unfair trade practices, but to re-industrialize the United States, since manufacturing used to be the core of the nation's power. Now, Bannon was criticized what is known as Made in China 2025 plan for Beijing to catch up with the West in 10 key technological sectors, saying that Chinese firms were relying in generous government support to reduce future technological reliance on the West. But here's the thing. What the Chinese often do, folks, is if you want to partner with the Chinese, they also demand that you move your high-tech or your intellectual rights, your intellectual know-how to China. So basically you're giving the Chinese your technological expertise. In many ways, we're basically, and if the moneyed class, the Jewish class, they made a killing selling off America and then moving it to China. They absolutely made a killing here. Now, what Bannon seems to be saying is that Trump is going to increase the war on China to the point to where China is not going to really have access to America unless they just pay a lot of tariffs, or the costs become so prohibitively high that the United States will work to reindustrialize its factories. Quoting here from an article, says, our factories got shipped out of here. Wall Street made a fortune. Who are Wall Street? Jews. The private equity made a fortune. Right now, President Trump's focus is on stopping it, said Bannon. And quoting here, apart from imposing the unprecedented tariffs, the Trump administration would use Section 301 of the Trade Act to press China on intellectual property rights and stop Beijing from forcing American companies to transfer their technology to Chinese partners, the former chief strategist was speaking. Now, Section 301 authorizes the U.S. president to retaliate against any action that violates an international trade agreement or is unjustified, unreasonable, or discriminatory, and that burdens or restricts U.S. commerce. Now, it's interesting how, in one side, Jews are using this 301 idea to punish people who are harming American interests. But at the same time, we see Jews so actively involved in trying to harm the economic interests of other nations, like in Iran, like in Russia. Venezuela is suffering, obviously. See, what a lot of people I've learned about Venezuela, for instance, Venezuela's oil actually goes through Russian middlemen. So essentially, the Americans are so stupid. Our policy people are so stupid, meaning American policymakers. They've engineered a system to where the Russians actually gain control of Venezuelan oil. They created sanctions in such a way that they actually forced the Venezuelans to allow the Russians to broker the oil back to we Americans. See, somewhere along the line, it's either A, the policies instituted by Jews are allowing Jewish middlemen to make a lot of money. Don't think that doesn't happen, folks. It really does. Or our genius Jewish morons running everything have been so stupid with their quote-unquote their boycott strategy that they handed Venezuelan oil over to the Russians. I mean, think about that, everybody. We are dealing with a lot of stupidity here within our Jewish community. And I think this is going to connect. 864 area code. I think that's Mike. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Good morning, Fetch. Good morning, everyone. Or good afternoon, wherever you may be. I'll pass on something very quickly. I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying. It was very, very important. You were mentioning about how the jobs have been offshored from America. Yep. It was under NAFTA. Bill Clinton was one of the primary reasons that got out of here. The jobs are gone. They're not coming back. There are many reasons why, but here are the direct reasons why that they were offshore. The powers to be, the globalists, did not want to keep fighting with EPA regulations. They didn't want to go fight the unions. They didn't want to do profit sharing, overtime. They didn't want to do any of that. So what they do is they offshored all the jobs, and now they don't have to pay any of those overheads.
That's correct.
Two more major basic reasons that people are ignoring why the jobs are not going to come back here. Industry will come back slightly, but not anywhere near what it used to be. The industry of America is over with. It's going down to a third and fourth world level because of the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. That's what's in their way. But primarily the two major big reasons why it's not going to recover. America will survive, but it will not recover back to where it used to be. And the two reasons are these. Population, we're in a depopulation situation that will continue until you see massive amounts of people dying. Suicide rates are up from 33,000 a year to 45,000. And the second major big reason is the replenishment of natural resources, which is not happening. It's killing this earth to maintain the population demands that are going on right now. So those are two reasons why the whole world actually is going to be downsized. Depopulation is going on and natural resources. And the rest of it is just money in pocket to the globe.
It amazes me, and I was discussing with another American guy here who's kind of on our front. Not kind of, he is. Is, you know, you have all of this African population and they want to bring it into our nations when we already are in a kind of like a Japanese situation where we need to have some deflation, depopulation, but it should occur naturally. It doesn't need to occur through some type of forced tyranny. Yet they keep bringing all of these people in and just making the situation even worse for everybody.
The Southeast is turned over to the Africans right now. A lot of your blacks are being given gatekeeper positions. Basically, they're pretty much incompetent. You'll see a lot of rioting going on in the major big cities, Atlanta, Baltimore, New Orleans, Boston. These are all being taken over by the appointments of gatekeeper Africans. It's a joke. They have really no no ties to this country. And you'll see that especially in the South, where a lot of the statues are being removed, that should be stopped immediately. If you've got anything to do with the heritage of this country, it needs to be stopped and saved. That's why people want to come here. We had a standard of living that people couldn't meet, and that's why they wanted to come here. The top 20% of any tribe out there, Dennis, as you well know, you work with a lot of people, are really good people. But the rest of them are just not, they're not from this continent. They need to stay in their own continent. That's why they've all been divided up. But that's our problem, is that the globalists have come in here and just thrown it right down our throats without any way of rioting. But out there in the south, out in the southwest, you see all the half a Mexican population of Mexico is sitting in California, Arizona, and Colorado. And here's another reason why, is that several years ago under the State Department, there was an agreement made between the U.S. government and the Mexican government that the Mexican government said, if you will let us take over what was our lands in the first place, we'll allow you to come down and drill all the oil you want. And to reaffirm that, every congressman receives $5 million in his offshore account every year to make sure the oil companies get what they want. So there you have the reasons why things are happening.
Okay. I had not heard that, but it sounds like something that certainly would be viable.
Keep your eye on the South Carolina, North Carolina offshore oils. They're dilly-dallying around back and forth how they're going to go out there and do surveys and see if there's anything out there. Well, look at also what happened to the BP oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. There are reports coming out, propagandized by the oil companies, that the Gulf of Mexico is all safe, and the water is free and clear, and the scavengers are eating up all the excess oil. That's a complete total lie. There are five open fissures that have never been closed when that BP oil well exploded. These fissures continue to keep pumping out oil to this date right now. So it's all propaganda and lying. It's all about the oil and how they're going to get their hands on it. And you wait till these elections start up in November. Well, all these electronic voting machines are all rigged. If you go to a website called blackboxvoting.com, it's blackboxvoting.com, you'll see in there's a good video of how they're all rigged when they come out of the manufacturer. So all the governors and the attorney generals and the prosecutors of each state are all involved in this conspiracy to take over this country, and they're all being rewarded very happily, except that one day they're going to find out that all of a sudden the globalists do not need them anymore. So it's a Bolshevik invasion, plain and simple, very clear, and that's what I'll stand on right there.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Let's move along to, that's Mike, everybody in South Carolina. Moving along to 808, Free and Awake in Hawaii. Aloha. How are you?
Malicious mainstream media greetings, Fetch.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, yeah. But not so good for the mainstream media.
In what way?
Well, they're leftists, and they have a pro-Jewish bias, and it's working against them. And I got the stats to back it up.
Yeah, it is bad, no doubt about that. Yeah. So what's news? What's on your mind?
Well, what just happened in Syria, I heard the first part of your show, and you mentioned that EL-20 that was shot down by the Syrian S-200s. Yeah. And the deception that the Israelis employed to make that happen.
You know, it's dirty, you know, to sacrifice the lives of 15 guys, you know, and their families, and just for, and basically, and you think about it, dude, it's nothing. You hit nothing in Syria. You know, at the end of the day, the big scope of the universe, you hit something in Syria, big BFD, you know what I mean? But the lives of the people is something. And for what? So what are you doing? You know, you've accomplished nothing in the grand scope of the universe, but you destroyed 15 lives for nothing.
Right. And maybe that's the point. Continuous harassment of the Syrian people. They're not letting them have their lives. And the disregard for human life in general among that group.
Yeah, that's the problem, is just in general, they don't care. They're more than happy to sacrifice people just for nothing.
And so far, Putin, I guess to his credit, some would say he's maybe a little too hesitant, but he's taking like a measured response, although angry.
I don't know.
They have a blockade.
Maybe he's just smarter than me, but to me, he looks kind of weak right now.
Yeah. Well, that has to be considered, too.
Yeah, he's just, he's been so in bed with the Israelis like Trump. He's probably a little bit in shock that the Israelis did that to him. Kind of like our people, they get in shock, but then it's like, well, okay, I'm so in bed with them. It's okay. You're still my big uncle. What can I do? You know, I still have to follow your dictate. Yeah. So the military's pissed. I know that for a fact.
Right.
So the Russian military is pissed.
Yeah,
but so he's been trying to probably keep them in check, and because he understands if you go after Israel, now you're going to have the all this nutcases in the evangelical world of America calling for Russia's head, basically, and so he's got to probably keep the military from attacking Russia, or keep the military from attacking Israel just to keep the Americans off his back. He's still. But isolated, you know, he's got to get through Turkey. He's got to get through Iraq. Iraq's cut his airspace now. He has to go through the Dardanelles, the Straits of Dardanelles, I believe, between Turkey, you know, in Turkey. So it's like, okay, they can shut that any time, you know. So he's still isolated. His position in Syria is still weak. So he's got to be.
But he does have China as an ally, potent ally too.
Well, yes, for now, but and that's going to grow, I think. But, you know, China's not really – they've got maybe 3,000 Marines now inside of Syria. But now they've called off the operation in Idlib. So he looks weak on two steps. I think is what he's gonna, maybe what he's doing, everybody, is he's taking a couple weeks here to allow the Turks to probably get as many of these American al-Qaeda idiots out. You know what I mean? Just get them out. Let America go ahead and evacuate them through Turkey under the guise of, quote unquote, disarming them. And then once America gets their ally, their assets out, then try to go in and clean it up.
So, again, he's being, I guess, maybe overly diplomatic.
He's being pragmatic. It's better to go ahead and get them out than to risk fighting a war with American proxies being financed and backed by the Americans. You know, it's just... You know, it's the long game. In other words, it's better to just let them out than to force the issue and force the Americans to come to everybody's aid.
Right. Well, I think you made a good case for Putin's actions. So, but I just know he's weak.
I know in certain areas of Russia, he looks weak. You know, he may even find some of his ratings drop 3, 4, 5 points because of this situation, because he's not going to respond.
Well, that's a Sun Tzu stratagem, you know, to feign weakness, to make concessions for the long-term gain, as you pointed out. What's the long game?
It's still a long game here. I mean, it's geopolitics, it's national interest, it's not... the Americans are in this for the long haul equally. They've committed tens of billions of dollars to this thing. They're not going to want to see their investment hacked so fast, you know?
God help us.
Thanks for the call, 808. That's the show, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. See you inside the Eye Live, primetime Thursday, 6 o'clock p.m. Studio 8.